refugees. We're ready.
All right, definitely. Definitely we can get started then. All right, guys. Today I'm going to definitely just speak here. Well, first, I guess Pastor Mike, you want to start us off with prayer?
Yes, Father, we just pray today, and yeah, it's good to be here with the guys. And, you know, there's a source of life as we fellowship and break bread, Jesus. And, Jesus, I would ask that you would be made manifest in our midst today. You would touch us in every sense of the word and move upon Armand as he shares today. Nourish us, God.
Bless you.
Nourish us with your encouragement. Nourish us with your word and your truth. And again, I'm grateful for my dear brothers here. So grateful to see them this morning. And it's an honor. Thank you for all the good you do, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, good morning, New Life, guys. We are... today I'm going to be discussing deception. In particular, self-deception and being misled, and restoration for being deceived. And I'm also going to use a funny example, which some of you have already heard, but going to definitely use an example that recently occurred to me, a physical like analogy or whatever. So James 1:2-2, I'm going to be starting there. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So context here, the author here of this book in James is James, and I believe he's half-brother of Jesus. Just want to make sure. The intended audience is the Jewish Christians scattered among the nations, and James 1:1 talks about that, 12 tribes scattered. The emphasis here is on how, well, the emphasis of the book is how works prove true faith. As you guys, most of you know, faith without works is dead. James 2:17. It's funny, and I'm not going to go down this road, but it's an interesting thing how, and we could talk about that later, how Martin Luther, he actually didn't like this letter, which is an interesting thing how someone who's supposed to be like a, you know, church,
yeah, product. 95 Theses Catechism on the temple door,
yeah it's interesting, but again we'll get to later. One thing to note here is, and I just noticed this here and I want to mention this before I forget it, in verse 25, notice how it says forgetful here. That forgetful is not a sense of like forgetting, like I forgot where my keys are. The forgetful is more of a purposeful forgetting. If I like it, it's like I don't want to remember that. Just to make sure to clear that out before I forget. Deception. So deception here, the meaning of deception is where a person is moved. Well, one of the implications where a person is moved from a place of where they are to where they don't recognize where they are. So we think of a deception as being lied to, but there's an actual thing where it's where you're being moved from one place to another place where you don't know where you're at. And there was a recent example that happened to me that was just like a perfect example of that. And when I took the train ride last week I took a train ride. And what it is, I gave my mom a ride to work, so I had to take a different train over in Oak Lawn that I wasn't familiar with. So I was, I took the Oak Lawn train to Chicago. Never took the train before. And all during the ride, I was thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to get off on Ogilvie Station, and it'll just be a 10-minute walk to work. Yeah, I'd just be getting off there from there. And the train arrives in Chicago, and I get off, and I was like, where am I? I'm like, where am I? This isn't Ogilvie Station. This is somewhere else. And I was completely disoriented. I like didn't know where I was at, you know. I wasn't noticing any signs or anything in the station because my mind was so fixed that, yeah, this is Ogilvie Station. It didn't register until I actually finally got up off, you know, got from underground and saw the sign, and it clearly said this big old sign, Union Station. And that's when it finally registered. Wow, like, this is Union Station. This isn't Ogilvie Station. And then I had to reorient myself.
Sure.
And then I had to realize, wait, this is going to be a 20-minute walk to work. This isn't going to be a 10-minute walk to work because it's further south, you know, as most of you guys know.
Grant Park or?
It's near Sears Tower. I think it's a little closer to Sears Tower, I think. Whereas, you know, and I'm all the way northwest, I was telling Josh, my workplace is Merchandise Mart, near Merchandise Mart. Okay. So it's like, I wasn't reoriented finally until I got up from underground and I realized this is not Ogilvie Station.
And Port of Trade.
And afterward, as I was going through the whole process, I was like, man, this is actually a perfect physical example of deception. You know, physical deception where I was thinking I was completely on the right track. And I was thinking like, yeah, I'm on the right track and I'm going to land in this particular place. And I'm going to be in this particular place. But instead, I was completely disoriented and I was in a completely different place where I didn't have any idea where I was.
Hey, Armand, to throw in, there's something really cool with what you're saying. It has the implication when it says drawn away.
Yeah.
You were underground.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Actually, what it means is you get drawn to a place and you end up at a place you don't recognize, but you don't know you're being drawn away to the place.
And I was wondering about that.
And that's perfect. Like you're underground. There's no way to really.
Yeah.
You're being going to the same place. It's a physical, perfect example of that Greek word.
Yeah. And
even better than I thought. Even better.
And I didn't even like what you said. I didn't know that. Right. Obviously, you're deceived. So you don't know that you're being drawn away to a place you don't, you know, obviously. And I just wanted to use that as an example as I go into the rest of this message and just kind of keep that in mind, I guess. Now, there's many directions we can go with deception because it's, you know, it's Satan, the father of lies. He's obviously in the mix when we talk about deception. So it's not just you can be deceived too, but it's obviously Satan can be in the mix. You could talk about assumption and presumption. That can be mixed in there. But I want to focus on like two things this morning. Number one, in terms of deception, when someone knows the facts or the truth and they're not applying the truth. As we go back to our main focus in James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers of the word, deceiving yourself. So you have it where a believer, they can hear the word, they can know, in other words, know the word, they can know it, but they can be not doing the word. In other words, they can be not applying it. So they're someone who they can know, yeah, they know that Jesus Christ is real, they know that God is the Lord, is Lord, God's God, but they're not actually doing the word.
Ignore it.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to the ignoring the word. And the one thing I was walking through the door, the one thing that's not in my notes, that the one that the Lord kind of emphasized as I was walking through the door is the aspect of knowing the word and then not moving, and it kind of like being on the fence. You know, that whole like, oh, I'm on the fence with this certain kind of thing. Even that is a state of deception because you can't. There's no way you can just be stagnant like that, you know? You're either moving forward or you're pulling back, you know? So even that knowing the word and just being stagnant is a state of self-deception. Again, self-deception, deceiving themselves, verse 21. The original word here says paralogizon. I'm going to butcher this word. It's like some kind of weird Greek word. Paralogizomino. I didn't say that right. I didn't even pass the mic. He's right when I'm trying to just. Basically, this word has this idea of men arguing, like very fancy and very sophisticated among themselves. So they're talking very fancy, and they're talking very, you know, kind of like, you know, really cool words and language and stuff, but all they're doing is filling their head with just notions without actually applying it. From my Matthew Henry commentary, which I like to use a lot here, it is not enough to remember what we hear and to be able to repeat it and to give testimony to it and to commend it and to write it and to preserve what we have written, that which all this is in order to, and which crowns the rest, is to be doers of the word. So all the things, all the hearing, repeating, giving testimony, commending, and writing about scripture, all that is for the purpose of directing you so that you can actually do the word. You know, it's not just for the sake of just hearing the word and talking about the word in fancy ways, you know, in very kind of creative ways. So number one, knowing the word, knowing the truth and not applying the truth. Number two, another way you could do it, it could be deceived, is by, you can be deceived even by other believers, and even though they're speaking truth. And that's one thing I think we have to keep in mind. Jesus and Paul, they multiple times said throughout the scripture, do not be misled, which actually is kind of interesting. When they say that, Jesus and Paul, like throughout the scripture, I can't just name one time when they say that, you know. It's sometimes it's translated, do not be misled, but also it's sometimes translated, do not be deceived. So they're kind of like intermingled there.
Same sense.
Yeah, it's the same sense, where misled has more of this emphasis on, again, that displacement, to where you're being led to a place where you don't know where you're going to, or you're getting lost. But remember, most of the time when you're being misled, again, it's not that the person misleading you is saying obvious things that are lies. If there were obvious lies, you'd probably pick it up. Most of the time, they're saying some kind of truth, but in a way a lot of times with believers, when they're speaking truth and they're actually misleading you and deceiving you, there's a bunch of things that could be happening. And we trust people sometimes trust the words of people way too often. They might be just talking with passion. Like they might just be talking like, oh, I'm talking with this passion, with boldness, with emotion. And we think that, oh, they're talking with all this boldness and passion. Therefore, they must be in line with the truth. You know, therefore, they must be speaking truth. Because look at how much boldness they have. You know, look at how much passion. That doesn't necessarily, and they might be speaking, obviously, right doctrine too. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's always, that they're being led by the Spirit. And I hope that makes sense, guys.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Hoping that makes sense. Just because someone speaks with boldness, passion, and even speaking right doctrine, even that we have to test the spirits, as the scripture says.
It's a living truth, yeah.
Yeah, and are they actually living truth?
Yeah.
Are they speaking from a spirit? Maybe they're speaking from a spirit of bitterness. Maybe they're speaking from a spirit of division or greed. You know, their internal spirit. As we went, we went through the Watchman Nee stuff.
Yep.
And one of the things with the Watchman, one of these days, maybe in the far future, I have to revisit that again, because looking back, I don't know if I handled the Watchman Nee stuff as good as I probably could. But one of the things that he talked about was how someone can speak, and what they're saying is technically true, but then you listen to the spirit and how they're speaking, by the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that there's actually something else going on. Sometimes you can pick up, even though the person is speaking technically truth. So you can have different things. You can have bitterness, malice, division, greed, pride, just even like popularity, that you can have all these different things. You can even have where the person, not even necessarily these bad things, but this person speaking truth, they may have good intentions, but they just have no discernment. They just can't discern. I've ran into that where someone had like good intentions and they're Christians, and what they're saying is technically true, and they give me maybe some kind of advice, and it's like they have good intentions, but the person just didn't have actual discernment. You know, they just said, "Hey, maybe you should just do this." You know, I was like, "Yeah, that sounds good. Do it." And then it's just like, in other words, I'm saying they may not necessarily even be aware or have malice in their heart. They just don't. They're just not discerned it at all. And like me, when I was at Union Station, and I thought I was at Ogilvie Station. What happens is when we get misled, or we get kind of even whether it's a little thing or like a big thing, you know, when we get kind of off track, you know, to use that pun, you know, a lot of times the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God has to reorient us and get us back on track, literally get us back on track to where we're just like, okay, this is where, even though we might lose a little bit of ground, lose a little bit of time. So even with when we lose track, we lose time as a result of being deceived or misled. Can the Lord restore what was lost or stolen? Because a lot of times, obviously, with deception, there's an aspect of Satan's not just trying to deceive you just to deceive you. Like, he's trying to take something from you, too. He's trying to steal something from you when you're in that state of deception and you don't know what's going on. Or he's trying to kill something in you. Because, again, if you're not deceived, then Satan's not just going to, like, just come to you. You realize it, you know. Yeah. Satan has to somehow deceive you in order to get to you a place where you're getting something stolen from you, or, like, killing something in you spiritually. In John 10:10, where he talks about Satan being the kill, steal, kill, and destroy. And then with like you guys know, of a lot of scams and everything, like whether it's a phone scam or whatever kind of scam that happens, the person has to somehow deceive you into thinking something in order for them to take like money from you.
Sure.
So
wrong impression, false impression.
Yeah, they have to, in order to do that. So can the Lord do that? And obviously the obvious thing is this: yes, the Lord can. And of course, the one thing too is that to protect yourself even from being deceived is knowing the truth and knowing the Spirit of truth. And this is not even in my notes. With the Lord, when you're saved, he gives you the Spirit of truth. So a lot of times where you can see,
yeah,
if you're sensitive and to the Spirit of God, and you're not kind of just overrunning the Spirit of God and just want to do your own thing and being like carnal or just like self-willed. A lot of times the Spirit of God will, Spirit of truth, will show you the truth of a lot of different things, you know. And by studying the truth, the scripture, you'll be able to see what's actually going on. But going back to this, I just wanted to definitely throw that in there as a means of even protecting yourself from being deceived. But after you get deceived and things get stolen, the Lord can restore things. He can have it where he brings back things that are lost. Even though this is more in the context of a redemption, of a bigger context of redemption, Joel 2:25, God will restore the years that the locust has eaten, to where locust has obviously just destroyed things, you know, and the Lord is able to restore it. And Deuteronomy 33, where the Lord promises to restore that which was lost. I know a lot of times we have different situations where you might lose time,
mm-hmm,
you might lose years, and sometimes I kind of, you know, think about that as like, man, I lost time doing this, you know, I lost money doing this, and I lost different things. And the Lord brought me to a lot of these scriptures where it's like, the Lord can restore those things to where he'll. And a lot of times we think of this in the context of physical things, which, yeah, the Lord can restore physical things too, like time and money and things like that. But I think there's a more important aspect of where we lose spiritual ground, where we get deceived. You know, Satan takes things or kills certain things in us. And then the Lord, he can actually restore spiritual ground that is lost. And remember, we're in a spiritual battle. to win. And I think that's the more important aspect too. And this is not a justification to do just whatever you want. Like, oh, I could just do whatever and the Lord, I could do, the Lord will restore. He'll get, no, this is the act of mercy. Yeah, this is where he does this out of his mercy and grace. This is, you can't just willy nilly just do whatever and then.
Act of redemption.
Yeah, act of redemption. So I hope you guys enjoyed. That was really short today. And my Ogilvy, just an ending thoughts. And I think the one thing I want to end this on is just that I think a lot of times we as believers, and I could put myself in this boat too, I think we trust our own like thoughts and opinions and our own assumptions and our own kind of way of thinking, even in our old man and even when we still have the old man and we're believers, you know. I think we trust ourselves and our own judgment like way too quickly. We don't question ourselves. There's a scripture that I was trying to think of, but I can't think of it right now. So there's that need to be self-aware of where we are in our own spirits, and just ask the Spirit of God to really show us where we're going with different things. So that's. That's probably a better. Verse than what I was thinking. I was thinking of a different verse, but that's actually probably a better verse than what I'm thinking of. If anyone has any follow up,
it's really good. What I was going to say too is, a lot of times, like every human makes mistakes. We're fallible.
Yeah.
But here's the point you're getting at, and it's really good. You could get people, they will disarm you by using the God speech, the God talk.
Yeah.
And their life can be run by everything else, but they'll quote a verse and get spiritual about it. And the verses they're quoting are right, but the context of their life is so not that, that we begin to merge with people that are not, where their speech is complete opposite of who they really are. It puts down the defenses, and I have seen, especially I saw this in the, as a youth pastor in the dating game. You would get truth. In fact, a lot of truth spoken in the reason it wasn't misquoted, or the person didn't try to say something that meant that it did it, but their life was so opposite of what they were saying. It was empty, and it disarmed the person listening. Oh, well, you know Jesus. And I saw this again and again, and that whole deception. You know, think about the greatest deception is being closest to the truth. So think about this.
Right.
If you handle the truth and you do it negligently, like where you're, it's just, it's complete hypocrisy. You're not what you're saying at all. There's nothing worse than being next to the truth and live a total wreck. I mean, there's nothing worse, than being, you know, quoting it and not even trying to misquote it, and yet the context you speak out of is complete opposite of what you're quoting. That's a deception that can be not impossible. Like you said, God can do anything, but that's like being asleep in the light, not to quote a Keith Green phrase, but being asleep in the light. But it's interesting because we've got to remember the buzzwords, you know, water, fire, you know, wind.
Oh, yeah, all the...
And you had people using these terms, and they had a, like you said this, you taught this before, they had a passion language, but the Spirit of God was not a fire in their life. They were not being blown by the wind of God. And it actually, others who watched them with their language, they will follow them. Like there's a boldness, but it's not a boldness of the Spirit. It's just... It goes from the passion language to the boldness language to it totally, it's I'm not going to call it a fraud, but it teaches you all these right sayings in the completely wrong context. And that is a pretty ingenious deception, in my opinion. And you know what I'm saying? And we learn from that. And I, like I said, I've watched people deceived just like the words disarm them. The truth was actually used to disarm them. It took away their discernment. It took away their ability to really look at who was talking. And they totally let down their guard. And, and it's a mess. It ends up usually with really bad casualties in the end. And life's getting completely messed up. And it's interesting. But it goes along with that word the Lord's been giving me, that he's coming to his church, and that he's going to expose empty rhetoric And that really fits in because I just read about a Hillsong thing. Pastor stepped down. But you look at it and it's like all the passion language, the great music, you know, and you start going, wow. You know, it's just, it's scary.
And part of this message is, I'm not trying to necessarily say like a navel watching where it's like, oh, you know, I did this one thing and then now am I actually, you know, I'm not, nor am I trying to be like, a person should go out and be like, everything that person said is deceived. You know, I'm not trying to encourage like just rampant, just like judging every single person. You know,
well, no, yeah, but at the same time, the heretic hunting. There's been an overemphasis. If the right doctrinal points were spoken, even though many times they were chasing the wrong thing.
Right.
Most people don't err in the positions they say. We err in the positions we live in. That's actually where the greatest delusion happens. So, again, I've seen people that like the heretic hunt, and their focus is on, did you say something a little off? And they're chasing people around, just like you said. In fact, it's the opposite. You're saying that what's right, how to do that. And we need that. We need that. I do. That's good. That's real good, Armand. It's really good.
Yeah. And definitely when I had that Ogilvy instant, I was like, this is the perfect example. Me getting lost in Chicago. Perfect example. So. Anyway, feel free, anyone. Does anyone have the time, real quick? I'm just curious.
8:47.
I'm good. Yeah, I was going to have breakfast with my dad after this.
Yeah.
So, but if anyone has any thoughts, feel free. Anyone. Matt, I know you're visiting us from Indiana there.
My law. No, I mean, it's good stuff.
Oh. Yeah, train station deception or something. Yeah.
Matt, I don't see a lot of people wanting to fund that, but definitely non-believers will fund that one. I'm just playing with you.
That's a sad truth, unfortunately.
Hey, just in a closing testimony. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I thought he said pretty much. But yeah, what are you going to say? Yeah, feel free.
That hurt me greatly. Even in my own life, the right words, and man, oh man, it kind of smoke screened me, even in my own life, because even in myself, you get so used to saying the right
that's
things.
That's true. That's very true.
You don't look under the covers, and it definitely hurt me. If I was to write a small little booklet, the damage was immense, and God begins to say, no, it's that like the hero, the doer, it's excellent, but no, I can't add, what you said is excellent. I too have suffered from it has caused much damage.
Yeah, I think all of us, and just to end real quickly, I mean, I think all of us have suffered from both, to where we've spoken truth and then look back and it's like, man, I'm not actually applying this to my actual life. And then we've been deceived, you know. So both self deception and being misled. So I can end this some prayer if you want. So Father God, we just thank you. Lord, help us to walk in truth, Lord. Lord Jesus, that you would lead us, Lord. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your voice. Jesus, you say that my sheep hear my voice. That'll keep us from deception a lot, Lord. Lord, that we be led by the Spirit, Lord. Not be led by the flesh, Lord. So, Lord, protect us, protect our hearts, protect our minds, Lord. Keep us on the right track, Lord. And, Lord, keep us humble, Lord, too.
Yes, God. Yes.
And lead us today, Lord. Lead us in all. I got a couple things I'm doing today. I just ask your divine just energy and unction, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, bro. Good stuff, man.